The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm going to be playing the role of Eric Metaxas. I'm the best we could do on short notice. I know that it's a little disappointing, but hey, what are you going to do? It's a fallen world. I got to tell you, Albin.
Yes, sir.
We have very exciting stuff to share. Now, we often say that, and it's a total lie.
Today, it
is actually true. What we have to share is so scandalous and strange that I don't know where to begin. Actually, before we begin, let's announce to the crowd that you're not a paying crowd, so you need to shut up. That's not true. No, we have a crowd here. We're at the NRB in Dallas, or actually it's a terrarium within Dallas. It's a Gaylord Hotel. If you ever go to a Gaylord Hotel, you'll understand that they want to make you feel like a gerbil in a habit trail, and that's somebody got paid a lot of money for that. So
what
we're going to do...
By the way, you look great in fur.
Yeah. You know, Albin, you're fired. Okay, let me just say this. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to the great Vody Baucham. I am very, 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 very excited. There is no one like him. I hope you... listen carefully, and we're going to have him for most of both hours today. There is nobody like him. He has a new book out called Fault Lines. This is must reading because the wokeness has just it's an unfurling madness in the United States of America, and you need to understand what's happening, and that's all. Yeah. But, Albin, we got to talk about what happened last night. This is sheer lunacy, folks. Yeah. Listen carefully because we're not making this up.
Yeah, and I just want to introduce it by saying you brokered a deal.
I brokered a deal. I'm the kingmaker.
You are.
I'm the rainmaker.
Yep.
This happened, okay? As many of you know, I'm friends with Jenna Ellis, who is just wonderful. We've known each other for some years now. And I'm also friends with Mike Lindell, who is less wonderful. He's a bum. But I love him because he's the main sponsor of this program. And in all seriousness, these are two people I love so much that they had a public disagreement. And do we remember what it was about?
Yeah, it was about the Supreme Court issue, was it?
Okay,
not?
Basically... Both of them feel very clearly and strongly that the election was fraudulent. The question that they have is there a path to restore Trump to office if it can be proven that it was fraudulent, right? So it's a huge if.
Right, right. And Mike has the proof. So.
Well, Mike says he has the proof, and I believe him, but that doesn't mean you have to convince people. But
right.
the point where they differ, the sharp point where they differ, is that Jenna, who is a constitutional scholar, says there is no constitutional way to restore a president. Once the Electoral College does its thing, there's no way. You know, it's almost like if the cops tampered with the evidence or they messed up, you know, they didn't read you your Miranda rights. In other words, there is a procedure. Mike Lindell disagrees. And so they were throwing shade at each other publicly.
Yes.
And I said, I think it would be nice if the three of us could have a dinner with our various hangers-on, posses.
That's me, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You are my various hangers-on.
That's right.
You, Albin. And in all seriousness, we had a wonderful dinner together. After the initial physical altercation that they had, because they're passionate people, and, you know, they took swipes at each other and it got ugly. But... we know that didn't happen. It was one of the most wonderful evenings. Now, their debate style, because there was kind of like a dinner debate, is totally different.
Yeah.
For example, Mike is like a screaming tornado.
He is.
And Jenna is kind of like a machine.
Yeah, and Mike used props. He literally used the cups and the silverware from the table to make his point. And he kept saying, the fork, don't you see? This is the fork, okay? This is the cup. They're going to say this is a cup, and they're going to say this is a fork. And the knife goes over here on
right.
the left.
And what Supreme Court justice could argue with that?
I know.
So anyway, the bottom line is that it was really a robust debate,
yes.
which people understand. That's a nice way of saying, oh, it got nasty. But then eventually we had our kumbaya moment, and it was just it was so beautiful to see that even though they had had this robust debate, they could be really loving to each other. The whole thing was just wonderful. And when it was all over, Mike declared himself the winner, which is his job as a marketer, smoke blower. You know, he's always going to be the winner. He's a little Trumpian, and that's good and maybe not so good in some ways. But the fact of the matter is it was just wonderful. But when it was all over, Jenna says, oh, we should call the president.
Yeah, okay.
And so we got Biden on the phone, and we said, oh, I'm sorry, you're not the president. You can't steal an election,
yeah,
be the president.
You
scum, get out of the country. And then we actually called the real president, Donald Trump. And, of course, Trump, having no country to run, hey, what's a guy going to do, of an evening? And so he picks up the phone instantly, and we had the most wonderful conversation with him on speakerphone. I recorded it, but I don't have permission to air it. But I'm looking at my producer, Chris Himes. Has that ever stopped us before?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Trump, what do you got?
Off the YouTube,
how
are
you going to stop me, Trump? Yeah. You can't cancel me, Trump. So, but it was just so much fun. Is anybody keeping track of where we are in time?
Yeah, I got it right.
Oh,
here.
We got loads of time.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun.
We
have to get Mike's and Jenna's permission to play clips from their contretemps, their battle royale, if you will. It was kind of like Indian leg wrestling, but verbal. In other words, it was ugly.
Yeah.
It was ugly, but at the end of the day, nobody got hurt.
Yeah,
and that's the beauty of Indian leg wrestling.
Ugly in a beautiful way.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's what happened last night. And we're at NRB, as I said, which is in Dallas, and you keep bumping into people, and it's just a lot of fun. Every time you turn around, another friend is, grabbing you and saying, where's my money? And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, do we have anything substantive to relate?
Well, no, I think...
Well, this morning, I'll tell you what I have to talk about. This morning, Salem, we're on Salem Radio, demanded that I show up at a 7 a.m. breakfast.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And the fact that I was there tells you that I'm scared of Phil Boyce, because he's a big...
He's big.
Irishman, and you get a couple of drinks in him, and he'll swing at anything. And I just got to tell you, to be at a 7 a.m. breakfast and to be lucid... So I used up all my lucidity, and so that's why I feel so scattered right now.
Yeah, you still haven't splashed coffee on your face. But you were part of a roundtable discussion about the very issue that Vodi is talking about.
About critical race
that's
theory.
Right.
So Vodi is going to talk about it on this program. But it was such a fun conversation that we're going to air it on this program as soon as we can kind of get it edited, because you don't want to miss it, really. It was Charlie Kirk, Vodi, and myself, and Owen Strand was the moderator. So it was wonderful. So we're going to play that on this program.
We want to play it so we can get a day off. But other than that, it was good. It was good. It was a lot of – you go in there, and it's a very serious topic, but there are a lot of laughs, mostly provided by this guy here.
Is that true? Because I was not aware of myself being funny.
It was quite funny. You and your skinny jeans as Charlie Kirk.
Well, that was Charlie Kirk was the one getting the laugh.
That was his only zinger,
at my expense.
That was it. Yeah.
Wow, we sounded like a couple of hack radio shock jocks.
Oh, gosh.
That's what happens if you get me up at 5 a.m.
Yeah. I wish there was something going on in front of us.
And now let's go to traffic.
Hey.
Okay, so who do we have up tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have Mike Lindell.
We didn't air that?
We have not.
We're airing that today.
No, we're airing Vodi today. We're airing Mike tomorrow.
Okay, so yesterday we recorded Mike Lindell in a proper recording.
Yes.
This was not the dinner conversation.
He was pretty crazy there, too. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. But, Mike Lindell tomorrow.
Well, you know what? That gives me an opportunity to say, use the code ERIC wherever you go. If you go, whether Whole Foods, MyPillow.com, Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. You'll get a whopping discount and a smile.
Yeah, by the way, during that whole conversation at dinner yesterday, I used the code Eric and got 20 towels.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
Isn't that incredible? Go to MyPillow.com, and we apologize for our drunken blathering, but again, we're not morning people. Thank you very much. Folks, how many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Folks, we are at the NRB. Do you care? Why would you care? But those of us who are here at the NRB, oh, we care. It's the National Religious Broadcasters Convention 2021. Make sure you get the year right. The present, 2021. We want to be clear on that. I have a great joy. I'm sitting next to someone I've never met in person until just now. We have done the program together, but I've never had the privilege of meeting in person Vody Baucom Jr. Am I pronouncing Jr. correctly?
Yes.
Yes? Can everybody hear Vody?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, you could even take that. I want to make sure people hear you because technically this is radio and audio counts a lot. So now, Vody, here's the thing that I have learned today that I did not know a couple of weeks ago, that it's not pronounced Vody. It's pronounced Vody.
That is correct.
All right. I think we're done here. Albin, anything else?
Yeah.
Vody, you're somebody that you've been a heroic figure, unfortunately. We're living in times when simply speaking common sense or explaining common sense makes you heroic. You have a new book called Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. For those on radio, I need to clarify, you are a black man.
Last I checked.
You identify as a black man.
Last I checked, yeah.
If you identified as a woman, you could crush the weightlifting at these Olympics. Did you know this morning we have the first transgender Olympic woman athlete competing in weight training? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
You want a gold medal? You could get one.
It was just a matter of time.
All right, I'm gonna shut up, stop joking when I'm dead. You have helped a lot of Christians understand why critical race theory is a bad thing. And there are a lot of people in the evangelical world who have really, I would say, because of pure white guilt and philosophical foolishness, gotten sucked into this, and they need someone to help explain to them why CRT and social justice, as it's being called today, is really, as it's being framed, antithetical to what the scripture says and to reality, which is often the same thing. So in the book Fault Lines, you talk about that. But for people who've never heard of you or who don't know even what to think critical race theory is, explain what critical race theory is and then why people should reject it.
Yeah, and I think that's incredibly important right now because there is this groundswell against critical race theory. We're seeing videos almost every day now
against
of somebody speaking at a school board meeting, you know, saying, you know, we can't be doing this. And so what's begun to happen now is the apologists for critical race theory have been going on, you know, news programs and television shows. And basically what they're saying is, no, critical race theory is just it's just teaching about America's history and racism in America's past.
All right, let me translate. They're lying.
They're very much so. They're very much, yes, they're absolutely lying. Because if that's the case, why do you need critical race theory? I mean, we've taught about America's history and racism in its past before.
I was saying to my daughter this morning who's here, I don't know anybody who is pro-racist. In other words, in the world in which I have grown up, anybody who is openly racist is denounced. Everyone I know knows actual racism is evil.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a Christian to know that. But if you are a Christian, you understand that. So what is it that has happened that people who are effectively cultural Marxists have figured out a way to reintroduce the hot button issue of race as though we have just discovered it, as though we have not dealt with it 100 ways as a nation?
Well, the premises of critical race theory, well, a couple of the main premises of critical race theory. One is that racism is normal. And what they mean by that is that it's baked in, it's ingrained in American society and history and culture. America is a racist nation and has been since its founding. This is why the 1619 Project is so important. We got to get away from, you know, 1776 and the Declaration of Independence. We got to get away from 1787 and the ratification of the Constitution, because those lofty ideals can't be what defines us if we're going to push this sort of Marxist oppressed paradigm. So racism is normal. It's baked in. America is irreparably racist.
But before you go to the second point, I wanted to, because this is the kind of thing that only with you could I really cover this thoroughly. Every lie is twisted truth. There's no such thing as 100% lie. It is a twisting of the truth.
Right.
And the most satanic lies are the ones that they pull truth in a way that it's confusing to people. I mean,
yes.
It's even when Satan says to Eve, did God say, it's already being framed in a way to knock people a little bit off kilter.
Yeah.
So when somebody says racism is baked in, the truth in that is that because of original sin, every single one of us is inclined to be selfish. Every single one of us is inclined to be tribalistic, me, mine, against they.
Yes.
So there is a truth there. But what they do is they take that fundamental biblical truth.
Yes.
And they use it for the devil's purposes.
Absolutely. In every country, in every society, in the history of the world where you've had people of multiple ethnicities, there is always ethnic pride and ethnic prejudice. Always. So to say that that has existed in America, what's the point? That exists everywhere that's multi-ethnic. But they're trying to say that because of this, our history, another thing, because of our history of slavery. Again, slavery has existed in every culture throughout world history. But for Americans, we have this tendency to look at our culture like it's the only one that's ever been.
But I mean, look, because I wrote a book on Wilberforce, I know that even the transatlantic slave trade could not have existed if black Africans had not enslaved and sold black Africans to the British. In other words, the idea that this was a white black thing.
No.
This was.
No, it wasn't.
Any group that can profit from oppressing another group.
I mean, the word slave comes from Slav, right? The Slavic people.
I forgot that one.
Yeah. So, and again, So back to this idea, you know, racism baked in, America is racist and, you know, uniquely racist. The second idea is that it's called interest convergence theory, that white people are incapable of righteous actions in the area of race unless their interests converge with people of color.
Okay, so, wow. The reason I shrink from using the word satanic, too easily, but this is, there's so much here. It's so deeply deceptive that word comes to me. In other words, when you talk, for example, about, even when you talk about white or black, right? Most people don't have the ability to stop and say, wait, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
In other words, what does it mean to be black or white? If my father's from Greece, am I less white than a Swede? Am I less guilty than a Swede, according to these theories? It becomes so difficult even to process that, yeah, I think most people tune out.
And if you're a first-generation Nigerian, you know, come to America, who, by the way, do better off economically than white people, are you part of the black oppressed class, or are you something other? It does. You get in the weeds in all of this.
And of course, if it is true that Africans who come to America do better than black Americans who have been here for generations, does that not suggest that it is black Americans who have internalized and accepted a view of them that is less than God's view that are guilty in their own oppression?
You know, that's a really complex issue, because there are black people who do far better than the average, than the norm. There's others who do far worse. But one of the things that is consistent is that whatever a culture is, there are certain things that you must do in order to be successful. And cultures that don't do them don't experience success.
Let's put a pin in it. We'll be right back talking to Vodi Baucom Jr. Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. We're at the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters 2021. Be sure that you're right. It's not 2020, it's 2021. And I'm talking to Vodi Baucom Jr. Now, Vodi, I always got to go to the stupid place first. I know you're a junior, but you don't think many people will confuse you with the other Vodi Baucom, right? Yes. There's not a senior that they're going to be. Which one is it? Peter Bruegel, the elder, the
You know, it depends, you know. I mean, I get asked all the time. If, you know, my father went to Redlands University.
I don't
get
know
asked
anything.
All the time. Hey, did you go to – are you the Vodi Baucom who went to Redlands
okay,
University?
Okay, so this is why I ask stupid questions, because you're telling me there is a thing here.
Yeah.
Your father, who is the senior, Vodi, is someone that people know, and he went to Redlands. And what is it? I want to know your story I want to talk about what we're talking about, but I also want to know your story. So just briefly, tell me about your dad and where you came from.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Born in 1969. I'm a moon baby, right? The year we went to the moon. You know, I was raised by a single teenage mother. My mother got pregnant with me when she was in high school, and had me, you know, when she was 18.
But wait a minute. Since that happened in 1969, do you ever think if that had happened in 1975, we wouldn't be having this conversation?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think about that because that's very real for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and all of the reasons that people give, right? You know, so my mother, so she could have gone to college, so she could have, you know,
she could have had a life,
you know, whatever.
She could have been somebody, and instead she made the wrong decision, and now we're saddled with having a conversation with you about your brilliant new book.
Yeah, well, you know.
What a sad development.
Yeah, what a sad development indeed. But, you know, I knew my father. I would see my father from time to time. He had a tremendous influence on my life, even though he didn't raise me. And one of those influences, my father was very much a sort of black power, black nationalist, you know, kind of guy. And so if you look at the black community and sort of the Malcolm X wing and sort of the Martin Luther King Jr. wing, I was very much part of that. Malcolm X
now, both of them were dead when you were born, but you're saying that your father inherited those ideologies.
Yes, absolutely. Was, you know, a bit of a...
So we're talking about Malcolm X, not MLK.
Yes, yeah. So that was, you know, that was the ideology that, you know, I sort of embraced. That was the view of my heritage that I, you know, kind of embraced, which was very interesting when I came to faith in college.
So was your experience in college when you kind of flipped from the side that today would embrace beating people over the head with CRT to the side explaining why it's not a good idea? Did that happen in college for you?
Yeah, it did. It happened in college.
And where in college?
It happened gradually. It happened gradually for me. So I was playing football at Rice University.
A little guy like you were playing football?
Yeah, I was playing football
at Rice University. That's a different day. No, I want to... I know I'm going to interrupt constantly, but I just got to say, meeting you in person, it's interesting because people's physicality, you know, everybody on the screen is the same size, but, you know, you're a big guy. You're a very muscular guy. So when you say you're playing football, I'd be like, of course you were playing football. because really, and, but you, where were you in college?
At Rice.
At Rice in Houston. Okay.
Yeah.
So please continue.
So I started preaching when I was in college. Came to faith when I was in college. I started preaching when I was in college. Because I was a football player, people were inviting me to speak at a bunch of different things. I didn't know much of anything, but, you know, you carry a piece of pig across a piece of chalk, and all of a sudden people want to hear what you have to say.
You carry a piece of pig across a piece of chalk. I have never heard that one.
Yeah.
Tom Tradup, have you heard that before?
Yes.
You, of course you have, because you're a real American.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so people, you know, were interested in what I had to say. And, you know, I was convicted because, not having grown up in church, I felt like I wasn't ready to do that. So I transferred my senior year and went to Houston Baptist University. Which transferring as a senior, that's just not advisable.
Right.
But it was there. That's really when all of this stuff sort of came to a head for me. And I began to sort of think through these issues. Because it's interesting, when I was at Rice, I was majoring in pre-law and international business. And when I went to Houston Baptist University, they didn't have those degrees. And you have to double major at HBU. So I was there to do a Christianity degree, and I was looking for what else I was going to do. So I did a sociology degree, which really started me to thinking about all these things.
Now, I still want to go back. When did you know you were bright? Because you are brilliant. You're an academic. You're a lot of things. When did it become clear to you in your path growing up? Did you realize that in high school already?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you knew you were academically gifted already in high school.
Yeah, I was.
And you could play football.
Yeah.
I hate people like you. Go ahead.
I was an honor society guy and student government guy. And
Now, is any of that when you were growing up in L.A., single mom, black? Did you feel like you fit in? Was there anybody in your family that was similar, or were you kind of a changeling? How did you feel?
It was all I knew. That was where I fit in. But see, there's a part of the story that I left out.
Alvin's given us the. So we're going to get to the part of the story you left out when we come back. Folks, we're at NRB. Don't forget, I'm begging you, go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter, please, so we can send you video of this conversation and much else. So I'm at NRB talking to Vody Balcom Jr., as it turns out. And you were just going to talk about the piece of the story that you hadn't gotten to yet.
Yeah. So, again, my mother is raising a son in Los Angeles by herself. When I got old enough to run into a little trouble, she decided that I needed to leave L.A. So she shipped me out. We moved. I moved from Los Angeles to Beaufort, South Carolina.
Wait, you were getting in so much trouble that your mother decided to move to another part of the country.
It was not necessarily that I was getting in trouble. There was just trouble.
And there was so much trouble.
I happened to be
okay.
Where the...
All right. But that still must have been so bad for her to move to the other part of the country. No?
Yeah, so her big brother was a retired drill instructor in the Marine Corps.
Retired drill instructor. This is getting good. Please continue.
And so I went to Beaufort and lived with him for a year.
With the retired drill instructor?
Yeah.
Do you have videotape of these encounters? This is so cool. But I mean, seriously, this is it. But it's interesting, right? Because you didn't have a father in your life raising you, and yet suddenly now you had,
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe father, which is, to me, that's like father to the nth degree. That's really something a young man needs.
Absolutely. And it was tremendous. This also sort of shaped the way that I think now about what people need to do and be responsible for.
So in high school, you are suddenly living with this uncle?
No, this is right before high school.
Oh, you're real young.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is right
so this
before
is
high
good.
School.
They got you early. This is good. Yeah.
And then I went to high school in San Antonio. So I'm the worst kind of Texan, man. I'm a Texan by choice.
You know what that's like? That's like immigrants to this country. They love America more because they didn't get to be here in the beginning. And when they got here, they were
Yeah, that's how I feel about the Republic of Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody yesterday who had never heard of the Alamo. I said, you see that building? This is the Alamo. And I just thought to myself, if you want to know the history of America, you need to know the history of Texas. Because But these are the stories. When you know these stories and you have that kind of local pride, not tribalistic, racist, jingoistic pride, but authentic pride, you walk differently.
Yeah, you do. And you think about this country differently. And we think about our fellow Americans differently. You know, for the last 6 years, I've been living in Lusaka, in Zambia. Went there to help start African Christian University. And being an American expat living abroad really changes one's perspective in terms of the way you view the privilege of being an American, you know?
I have a theory, because somebody said this recently. I said, we should do something. I would be all for, a mandatory draft like they have in Israel and in Greece for every young person to serve a year or two abroad in various capacities, whether it's the Peace Corps or military or whatever, but to let you know, like, unless you do this, you don't get to live here. Like, if you want to be an American, because you can't possibly understand what it is to be an American unless you have seen something from the other side. But when did you decide, and why did you decide to go to, of all places, Zambia? I couldn't pick it out on a map. Why did you do that?
I had the privilege of going in 2006, and It was a really powerful experience. I write about it, actually, in the book, at the end of the book.
In this book?
Yeah.
Fault Lines by Vodi Balcom Jr. Yeah.
My father died in 2006. He died in April, and I went to Zambia for the first time in August. And he had always wanted to go to Africa, never had an opportunity to go.
So you became closer with your father over the time.
Yeah. In fact, my father came to faith late in life, and at the end of his life, I had the privilege of discipling and mentoring my father in the faith during those last couple of years of his life.
We have to say, God is good.
Amen.
I mean, wow.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to go for the first time in 2008. I came back. My wife asked me how the trip was, and I said, I think I want to be buried there.
Oh. Now, are you aware
2006, rather.
Of... in other words, what was it about? First of all, why did you go to Zambia specifically? What happened? Did you get an invitation to speak?
I got an invitation to speak. I had some mutual friends who had been there, who talked about the significance of the work that was going on there. And so when I got there, it was interesting. It was one of those moments where all of the things that the Lord had put into my life that made me uniquely. Who I am as a man and who I am as a Christian and who I am as a minister sort of really fit with what the needs were on the ground there. And I didn't know, you know, how I would be involved with the work there, but I knew that I would be. And it wasn't until 8 years later that the Lord called my wife and...
And you decided to move.
Yeah.
Now, how many black Americans... move to Africa? I would say that's a very small number.
It's a small number.
I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Which is ironic because, you know, you hear all the time with CRT, America's, you know, racist and it's horrible and this and that, but not a lot of people trying to leave and a whole bunch of people trying to get in, which is...
I've never heard that before. Alvin, can you check on that? Because he could just be making this up, you know? All right, so, well, let's go back... So your story, when you started, what was it that made you say, I need to address critical race theory? Is this something that happened the last couple of years that suddenly it's kind of blown up or
you
what?
You know, I've been talking about critical theory, neo-Marxism, Gramscian Marxism since 2004, 2005, and liberation theology since even before that.
Okay, now but this brings up a key point. The reason... ignorant people, uneducated people are getting sucked in by this because the roots of this are so obscure. Nobody's heard of Gramsci. Nobody, I mean, even when I was at Yale surrounded by people, you know, drinking from the fountain of Derrida and Foucault, and nobody in the world knows what this junk is, except the handful of people who do. And they have managed to... take these obscure, insane theories and mainstream. And nobody knows where it came from, which is why you are so crucial as a voice, because people need to understand what this is. And if you don't understand what it is, you just go, okay, yeah, I'm guilty. We're going to another break. Folks, I'm talking to Vodi Balcom, B-A-U-C-H-A-M, Balcom. The book is Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. Fault Lines. We'll be back.
I'm growing tired. And time stands.
I'd rather have Jesus than civil art.
Hey, folks, we are at the NRB, we being the Eric Metaxas Show and affiliates. We are at the NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, in Dallas. We have a live studio audience, although when I say live, I'm speaking metaphorically. They're kind of quiet. It's early. But I do want to say, Albin, being here is amazing. We've been having important and entertaining conversations with lots of friends. I want to say that we have been... talking also quite a bit on camera and microphone and off camera microphone with Mike Lindell, who, as everyone knows, is the godfather of pillows and bed clothing.
In case you didn't know that, he invented sheets.
And of soul.
He invented sheets. No, that's James Brown. I'm talking about Mike Lindell. He basically is... he's the man that invented bed clothing. Most of you young people don't remember, but in my day, as I was coming up in the world, nobody had ever heard of sheets or towels or pillows. Mike Lindell invented all of it. And to thank him, you need to go to MyPillow.com. When you go to MyPillow.com, you want to use the code Eric. Why? Because I asked you to. If you don't mind, please. We got canceled from YouTube. We're really hurting financially, so we need you to support our sponsors. Nutramedics.com also. If you need Arctic krill, let's be honest, who doesn't need Arctic krill? You want to go to Nutramedics.com if you need vitamins D, C. Sheila E. is also somebody that uses Nutramedics.com. I want you to be aware that your supplement and vitamin needs are at Nutramedics.com. We joke, but the fact is that they're an amazing company. Not only is their products spectacular, which we've talked about on the program in depth, and I'm not just saying this because they're a sponsor. Their stuff is amazing.
It is, yeah.
But they give 50% of all of their profits to ministries that we love and to missions, because the founder, Tim Eaton, who's the founder of Nutramedics, he was a missionary pilot until he perished in a fiery crash, and we never heard from him again. And then, like a phoenix out of the ashes, he comes back and founds Nutramedics.
Yep.
But so he gives tons, literally millions of dollars of their profits to missions. So it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And so if you have to get supplements or vitamins and so on and so forth, please go to Nutramedics.com, use the code Eric.
20% off.
20% off. Now, Alvin, since we got kicked off of YouTube, I just want to say, and that was through no fault of our own. We're trying to figure out who to blame. But honestly, we need you, whoever you are, to sign up for our newsletter, because we want to send you videos of what we do. For example, right now, you could see what we're wearing. And oh, my goodness, it's magnificent.
Yeah.
And if you're listening on audio, you cannot see the cummerbunds. I mean, we brought it to the next level.
Yeah.
Alvin, those are the finest spats I have ever seen.
Thank you. And we were so used to doing this on Zoom that I forgot to wear my pants for the live audience.
You know what? I've seen your pants, and it's no loss.
Oh.
So, but seriously, what we're talking about here, folks, you can watch videos of this, but you have to subscribe. You have to go to ericmatakis.com, sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you everything. We'll also send you photos and things. You can't get photos off the radio. I know you think you can. With God, all things are possible. But God has created a reality where he himself is subject to the laws that he created. And photos over the radio, not going to happen. Maybe in another universe, but you're in this universe until further notice. So I just want to say, you need to go to ericmatakis.com. You need to subscribe to the newsletter. We send you videos of everything we do. We send you information where I'm speaking next. I'm going to go all over the country in the next couple of months. I'm going to be in Bangor, Maine, Birmingham, Alabama, really everywhere. And I would love for you to know about that. But you have to go to ericmatakis.com and sign up.
Yep.
So should we leave it there?
Yeah. Just remember, tomorrow, the great Mike Lindell on the program.
We just lost a million people.
No.
Why do you even mention that?
Eric, use the code Eric.
And use the code Eric. Thank you.